His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 40 days of Easter.
During that tenure, he has stood as an impartial guardian of the law. He's worn the judicial robe with honor and humility.
Justice Stevens was the court's most liberal member. His retirement will, I think, be the occasion of some concern on the left about getting someone as liberal as Justice Stevens.
My service to the people of Michigan have been one of the greatest honors of my life. But it's time to begin a new and exciting chapter.
It really woke me up to the power of prayer, what happened with the twins. Because it really, he really does work.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, the Bible is clear on this. Repeatedly, we are told that we are to confess our sins. It is commanded in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it is highly recommended, and we are shown by many and various examples of proper confession. But what does that really mean? I think for most Christians, it means at the end of the day, you're lying in bed, you go through, in the few minutes before you fall asleep, go through the day's events, what you've said, what you've thought, what you've done, kind of add it all up and say your I'm sorry to God and then go off to sleep. And we don't really expect an answer from God. We kind of just go on the assumption rather than the absolution, the assumption that he hears and he answers and all is forgiven. Now, there's nothing wrong with the assumption that all is forgiven because, of course, that lies entirely upon Jesus Christ, our Savior. But is that what is meant when we are told in Scripture and shown by example in Scripture? Confession and absolution. We're going to be talking about private confession and absolution, something that rarely even occurs to Christians today. On this Tuesday afternoon, April the 20th, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor David Peterson will be our guest for the first half hour. After that, Pastor James Lustico is going to join us. We'll talk about superstition. Is it harmless or harmful? Big question there. A little bit later, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us to talk about the battle over, well, usually we're talking about gay marriage. In this case, it's gay divorce. Yes, inevitable if you have gay marriage. Gay divorce in Texas. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will round off our first hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest for the entire second hour. We'll be studying the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. You can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or just Twitter us at issuesetc. Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, It is time to go to confession. David, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Nice to be here.
You don't actually practice private confession and absolution. You're one of, or at least you're supposed to be, one of the good people. You're a pastor, after all.
No, I think actually the people that actually have to practice it are the pastors.
Why do you say that?
Well, it's not... Confession and private confession and absolution are certainly not mandatory for our people. This is a gift that the Lord provides, and it can be abstained from. But for pastors, at least Lutheran pastors that have made a vow to teach the small catechism, to not practice confession and absolution, to not have a father confessor, to not partake of this, is really to be a hypocrite.
So to urge others that they should do this, but not to do this yourself,
right,
is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know how in the world you could say this is a wonderful, marvelous gift that God has given, that he's attached his promises to, wherein he actually forgives our sins. But I myself, of course, have never partaken of it. You just have to be an absolute hypocrite to stand in that position. So I think that certainly I'm not saying in any way that confession and absolution are necessary to go to heaven or necessary for faith. any more than I would say baptism is or Holy Communion is. This is what the Lord has given. But for Lutheran pastors who have taken a vow and promised to teach the small catechism to instruct the children of the parish and the members of their parish or congregation with it, yeah, it's 1/6 of the catechism. It's a huge part.
It's the word private, I think, or the old term used to be auricular, that is actually into someone's ear so that they can hear and respond. But the term private is what sticks with a lot of people. I think while it should comfort us, because after all, it means confidentiality, it means discretion, it means the seal of the confession. Why do you think so many are turned off by the notion of private confession, with emphasis on private?
Well, I think that I think there's several things, but the first thing I think is just simply they don't want to really, it's too personal. So if I tell you, Todd, what my sins are, I might do that as a brother to a brother looking for sympathy, but when I do that as a penitent to a father confessor, or I do that as a penitent to God, really, through you, the problem is, yeah, that's just way too intimate. Where I'm not looking for decency, I'm actually expecting to be condemned in my sins, but then, of course, to have that absolved and removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not therapy. It's not, let's talk about this and get it out so that if it's out and we talk about it and analyze it, we'll feel better and know how to improve ourselves. We don't go to private confession for encouragement in that sense. In other words, it's not as though I would come to you and say, well, Todd, I confess that I wouldn't say Todd, oh, so Pastor, I confess that I've sinned against my wife and I haven't loved her as I should. And if you and I were at the bar together, you might say, well, sure, Dave, nobody's perfect, you know, and we all struggle with this and this is hard and no one loves his wife perfectly on this side of glory and keep up the good work. Yeah, that's the kind of encouragement I could expect from you as a brother. But that's not what I'm going to get from you if I come to you as my pastor and confess this sin. What I'm going to get from you is, which commandment have you broken? Yeah, that's right. You're wrong. You deserve to go to hell because of that. That's really terrible because you've sinned against her, and in sinning against her, you've sinned against your children, and you've sinned against your neighbors, and you've sinned against the state, and you've sinned against God, and you need to repent. So that's a pretty intimidating and awkward, uncomfortable, scary thing. That's a big part of what's the whole problem with, or what's our kind of sinful flesh's response to the private confession and absolution. And the other thing you bring up, well, it's confidential. To be sure, the pastor's vow at the point of having these sins visited to them, that they will never divulge the sins confessed to them. That is to say, it's not like a doctor-patient relationship or a lawyer where we're going to keep this a secret because that's the way we build trust. Rather, when the pastors vow this, they'll never divulge the sins confessed to them, it's because they believe that the absolution actually removes the guilt of that sin, and if they should speak it, then the pastor who speaks that sin, then he can go to hell for it. So it has to do with really a confession. I mean, his own confession of faith is in not divulging sins confessed to him. So that's a very strict and absolute promise and vow that's been made. The only problem there, of course, is that the man who's making it is a promise breaker. So I can tell you quite honestly that I have never divulged any sins that have been confessed to me so far. But the reality is I've made a lot of promises that I have broken. And you take a risk in confessing sins to me, a promise-breaking, sinful man. Am I going to keep this word or not? So there's the whole scariness of, is he going to judge me? Is he going to think poorly of me? Is he going to be mean to me? That's very intimidating and very nerve-wracking. And also the very real threat that the man who is in the office that God has established will fail me and, in fact, will embarrass me somehow or hurt me with this knowledge.
So, like just about everything else, in this life. We're dealing with fallible, failed, and sinful fellow Christians. Why should anyone then, given those objections, go to private confession and absolution?
Well, I think that's a great question. The reason that we should is because this is what God has given and established for us, for our good. And we go not because we believe that the pastor is trustworthy, though I hope he is, but we go because we believe God is trustworthy and that God will remove those sins, and that's what actually matters. What we need is forgiveness of our sins from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ. We need that far more than we need the pastor to keep his word. And God promises to deliver this forgiveness through the office of the ministry. This particular means of forgiveness or way of bestowing this peace, God has established in this office. So we go as a confession of our faith. The act of going to private confession and absolution, seeking this absolution, this promise from God, is a fruit of repentance. I mean, there are some sort of psychological-like things that happen. I mean, there is a kind of accountability that comes from saying our sins out loud. David writes, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old within me," or waxed or groaned or something. The Psalm 32, I can't quite remember the exact words. But it is good for us to acknowledge and to really say it. Now, what you were talking about earlier,
let's take a break and come back to Wilkin going to sleep on the other side of the break, talking about those confessions that we do make, maybe small c confession of sins that we do make and should make all day long. Do they preclude the need, the necessity of private confession and absolution? Pastor David Peterson is our guest. Very good one at that. We'll be right back. Well, I'm going on up to heaven, 'cause my way's already paid.
Well, I was sleeping. We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see his hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 40 days of Easter.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Pastor David Peterson is our guest. We're talking about private confession and absolution. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 20th of April. You can join us with questions or comments. Our email address here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Twitter us @issuesetc. or just give us a call toll-free, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. All right, you were going to take us after talking about why we should go to confession and absolution privately to, you know, Wilkin with laying his head down on the pillow at night and reviewing the events, the thoughts, the words, and the deeds of the day. Pick up where you left off.
Well, that's a good and right thing to do, as in fact our Lord teaches us to do in the Lord's Prayer, that when we ask for the Lord to forgive us our trespasses in the Lord's Prayer, we do have the right expectation that He does and will and is doing that, and because we are baptized and we do belong to Him and His name is upon us, He does continue to work in us through His Word, and we do receive forgiveness, absolution, in other ways, you know, other than the direct personal way through the pastor. So I don't remember where I was going, but the reason we go to the pastor then, though, is because God has established it and given it, and it's good for us to actually speak these things out loud, to make them external so there's a kind of accountability for them, but also so that we would hear God's word in a voice other than our own voice, that God's word and promise is outside of us. It's objective. It's not just sort of me psychoanalyzing, thinking through, making up excuses or justifications or whatever, or, you know, just finding my way through it, but it is, in fact, God speaking in a voice, a real, actual human voice outside my own head. So that's the promise that God is giving to us.
Don in Kansas emails us. He says, one big problem in the church today is so many people are burdened with guilt. They do not go to the pastor for confession and absolution, but go to worldly counselors, pay big money for dealing with their guilt. They could go to the pastor who could give them much better relief. Your thoughts there, and then a question after your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's right. The only kind of qualification, I like this, his use of the word guilt here. What the absolution removes from us on this side of glory is guilt. We still live on this side of glory with sin, including original sin, and the, I can only think of the technical concupiscence, the desire towards sin is still in us, even though we've been absolved, and also temptation is still with us. What the absolution removes is guilt. Finally, on the last day, when we're raised up from the dead, in our bodies and souls and perfected, we'll be free of all of that completely. The only thing I would kind of qualify on what he says, I agree with it, but people might mishear it. The promise that God gives to us in holy absolution is an objective removal of guilt. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. The sins are forgiven. We often experience guilt as an emotion, and there's no promise in the Holy Scriptures that we're going to feel wonderful and at peace and just great after having received this gift from God. We often do, and thanks be to God for it. We receive that also as a gift. We're glad for the good emotions and the high kind of spiritual experiences that God gives us. But the promise isn't for that. The promise is that the sins are forgiven. And we confess that and believe that by faith, even on the times when we can't feel it. So if a person is going to the pastor because he feels guilty and receives the absolution, his sins are forgiven, but he still might have to deal with and continue to work with and suffer from feelings of guilt.
And in that case, I mean, I remember having a parishioner that used to come to me regularly for confession and absolution when I served a parish full time. But in addition to the absolution, we both concluded that she also needed to continue to see her therapist.
Yeah. Absolutely. Therapists can do all sorts of wonderful things with the gifts that God has given us through science and observation and so forth that we should take full advantage of.
Then it's not an either or.
No, of course not. Certainly the absolution, there's no reason to expect the absolution is going to cure mental illness any more than it's going to cure cancer. Or also, you know, teach us how to better communicate with our spouses or fight in ways that are helpful, negotiate, all the skills we need. There are there are good therapists, good science, good knowledge out there that can be very helpful. So absolution isn't a replacement program for those things. But what absolution does, nothing else does, and that is give real peace with God through the promise of God's word according to his death and resurrection.
Does it really do what it says it does? Does it really actually grant and give and forgive sins, or is it just a message about some forgiveness that's located elsewhere?
No, it actually does it. It's sometimes in sort of linguistic theory, this is called a performative word. So it's not just simply telling you what you already know. That's what you do, Todd, when you lie down at bed at night and you think through your stuff and you confess your sins, and then you say to yourself, yes, that was wrong. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I got to do better next time on this. And then you say to yourself, but thanks be to God, I'm baptized. I know Jesus loves me. He died for me. That's what you're doing. You're reminding yourself that Jesus loves you and, rightly directing your thoughts and so forth to God's promises in the cross. And that's a good thing. But it's not quite the same thing as directly forgiving you and actually bestowing this forgiveness. And a person can't absolve himself. There'd be no way to, because it needs to come in a voice other than your own. God doesn't speak in your voice to you. He speaks in your pastor's voice to you, or a pastor's voice to you. The performative word thing is like when the judge pronounces you man and wife. That's how it works. When the judge says you are now husband and wife, that speech actually creates the reality that exists in a sense. Well, that's just sort of theoretical there. It's absolutely true when we're talking about the absolution, that Christ has given this promise that when, as he did on Easter evening, when he goes to the upper room and he breathes on his disciples and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If this word of forgiveness is spoken, it actually works. It bestows forgiveness. It takes away guilt.
All right. Deal with this one. And that is, maybe we need to be able to distinguish between different kinds of guilt. Someone says to you, Pastor, I need to go to private confession and absolution. You say, well, what's up? They say, well, I haven't been in a long time. And I know I'm supposed to, and I'm feeling kind of guilty that I haven't, as opposed to someone who says, Pastor, I've done something, and I need you to hear this confession. Would you distinguish between those two with about a minute?
Well, anytime someone wants to come to confession, I'm willing to have them come. I mean, the distinction, of course, is if it is a false guilt. But that's part of confession and absolution, is it's a catechetical or a teaching moment, and we need to learn how to confess our sins. We need to learn how to examine our lives according to the Ten Commandments and our position or our place in life. And sometimes we need to be, sometimes we want to confess things that aren't really sins, or we're feeling sort of guilty about stuff just because we're confused and our lives are complicated. And confession and absolution is actually good for that. But in order to try to kind of cut through it and go, oh yeah, I guess I'm feeling bad about stuff just because it's a bad situation. I feel bad that my daughter's getting divorced. It feels like guilt to me, but it's not really my fault. I don't know where I fit in it. Well, you can confess that, and you can receive absolution for it, because our Lord's blood covers shame, guilt, false guilt, the whole gambit. But also, we can receive pastoral counsel there from the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about this particular situation? And that also is a whole part of the process.
Then with only 30 seconds, when I receive this absolution, private absolution, will I necessarily feel better?
Right. Not necessarily. There's no promise about how you'll feel. Indeed, though, many times you will. Sometimes you'll just feel better that it's over. But there's no promise about how you'll feel. The promise is what God will do.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's authored an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, It Is Time to Go to Confession. Pastor Peterson, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. It was fun.
We'll have a link to Higher Things at our website, issuesetc.org. Well, on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 20th, we stay here in first hour. We got two more guests to work our way through. When we come back, superstition. Is it harmless or harmful? When is it kind of the inadvertent kind of magical thinking that all of us engage in from time to time? And when is it serious stuff? Or is there a distinction to be made there? Pastor James Lestico will be our guest. He'll join us on the other side of the break. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us to talk about the battle over gay divorce in Texas. In the second hour of the program on this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, will join us for the entire second hour to study the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc.
And the ashes will scatter, so I'm thinking about forgiveness. Forgiveness, even if.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
You've heard about Toyota's debacle with their product. About 50 deaths have been attributed to unexpected acceleration in the cars. As a result, it triggered billions of dollars in recalled vehicles. Compare that with Gardasil, the vaccine to prevent human papillomavirus, a sexually transmitted disease causing cervical cancer. So far, about the same number of deaths has been linked to this vaccine, but there's been no wide-scale publicity or recall. As a matter of fact, it's still required for sixth grade girls in several states, although parents can opt out. For no medical reason, Gardasil was fast-tracked approved by the FDA. Now it appears young girls are paying with their lives. If you're thinking of giving Gardasil to your daughter, make sure you get all the facts first.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.